get right into this message. Let's go ahead and pull. The title of this message is All Shame Ain't the Same. All Shame Ain't the Same. And I would encourage you, if you didn't watch the message, I would encourage you to go back, go to the YouTube page, the Church of the Promise YouTube page, and watch the message from last week. If you have never maybe been able to get rid of or completely deal with shame in your life, you do not want to be bound by it. Shame is powerful, and shame will hold people back. And so we said our number one point, main point is this: there is no place for an unhealthy, permanent shame in the life of a Christian. Somebody say that with me. There is no place for an unhealthy, permanent shame in the life of a Christian. Shame does serve a purpose, but that purpose many times gets twisted. And the enemy loves to use it. The devil is, I'm telling you, it's one of his favorite weapons to use against God's people. And so 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence." Everybody say confidence. "And not shrink from him in shame at his coming." I have noticed something. When there is an unhealthy shame in our lives, what will happen is, instead of running to him, and that's what shame is supposed to do, cause us to run to him. Instead of running to him, it will cause us to shrink back. It will cause us to pull away. It will cause distance between you and your Creator, because the enemy uses it to make you feel unqualified. The enemy will use it to make you feel and think somehow God don't even want to look at your face right now. Anybody understand what I'm saying? And we all know what it's like to experience shame. So spent quite a bit of time. I tried to use a lot of humor last week to really get this introduction to you, but I ended by talking about this. I like to watch mountain biking, especially extreme mountain biking, and there's this thing called Red Bull Rampage, and I love to watch that, and it's these guys that come down off this mountain, I mean, on mountain bikes, and they're jumping, and they're flipping, and they're twisting, and they're just doing all kinds of crazy, dangerous, incredible things that to me seem pretty humanly impossible. And you have to be a little bit insane to do that stuff. And I'm constantly, when I'm watching it, I'm saying, man, that's insane right there. But I can't stop watching it, because I love seeing what people can do. You know, God created us. He's an incredible creator. And he created us to be able to do things that really go beyond what many of us think is even possible. And so when people get out there and they push themselves to the limit, and I'm not saying you should do that, because, you know, it's a little dangerous, or very dangerous. But what I am saying is that many times we cut our life way, way shorter as far as what we can do. We cut it way shorter than what God enabled us to do. All right, just naturally speaking. But then when you add the Holy Spirit in there and you add the supernatural power and wisdom of God, then I'm telling you, God can use you to accomplish things that people can't explain. Say, how in the world did they do that? So these riders, they come down and they're doing all these kind of tricks. But, you know, when they're doing these tricks, they're being judged, then the judge is going to judge them based on the difficulty of the tricks they did. And even if they didn't do it perfect, if they at least attempted and was able to do it to some degree, they would still get a better score than someone who didn't attempt any at all, right? And in the same way in life, listen, there will be rewards. When we get to heaven, there will be rewards. But I don't want to go to heaven having just kind of rolled slowly down the hill, not attempting anything, just trying to keep everything safe. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I want to be able to hear from God. And when God says, I want you to do this, and my brain says, you can't do that. And the Spirit of God says, you can do anything I told you to do. Right? I get that feeling anytime the Lord, especially if he gives me a word of knowledge or something about healing, or I'm going to lay hands on somebody and there's an impossible situation and your brain is screaming, you can't do that. And the Spirit of God says, if I told you to do it, you can do it. All right? And you step out there and you see something and it blows your mind and you can never forget it. You know, it's because you took a, what the world might call a risk, but when it's with God, it's not really a risk. But you obeyed God and you stepped out into something and he put his supernatural power there. And next thing you know, you see somebody miraculously healed or their life miraculously turned around in some kind of way. All right. Again, many people do nothing but coast downhill all their life. They keep it safe. They're going to spend their life, trying to earn a living and be comfortable and have a few pleasures while they're on the earth. But they never live inside of what God made available to them on this earth. And the enemy uses shame to keep you from living a supernatural life. Right. So. The effect of shame is very, very unhealthy on our spiritual lives if it remains, all right? It makes us not want to do anything. And so we just lay in the same place moping around because we aren't perfect. Anybody in here find out lately that you're not perfect? I'm raising both of mine, right? And my feet, all right? Because I want to tell you, it don't take very long for me to hang around with me to find out that me ain't perfect. All right. And so if I'm not careful, because I'm somewhat of a perfectionist, I just won't do anything. And I feel like, well, if I can't do it perfect, I won't do anything. And so you might hear yourself saying in your mind, you know, I'm just not good enough. I've been a failure. I just can't do it. And yet the enemy he loves to knock you down and then kick you while you're down. All right. And so, you know, here's the thing, and this is what I had to learn. This is what I had to understand about myself. When I say I'm not good enough, I've been a failure, and I can't do it, the first thing I have to do is understand that I'm right. I'm right. Naturally speaking, I'm right. And I have to tell myself, you know, you're right. And you know what? You need to get over it. And you need to suck it up, buttercup, right? And you are not good enough, and you have been a failure, and you can't do it by yourself, and God never intended for you to do it by yourself, but the one who lives in you is good enough, and he has never been a failure, and he can do anything. That's why I want to live like the Apostle Paul said, it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And when I really believe that, then I don't have an excuse to disobey God when he tells me to do something that's impossible. See, the problem is that you've been living your life instead of letting him live his life through you, right? So one of the purposes of shame is for us to recognize, you know what? I tried to do that without God, and I ought to be ashamed of myself, right? And it's God letting us know, quit trying to do this without me, all right? And so for some of us, even more than some sin committed, unhealthy shame keeps you in an unrepentant state and becomes a wall between you and God. And the feeling of having your sin uncovered and exposed is crippling and terrifying. We walk around with this shame that we try to hide, and even when we can admit it, we find ourselves unable to let it go many times. Shame eventually turns to bitterness and resentment, and if it's left unchecked, it can become an all-out hatred toward God. I have seen it hundreds of times. When you allow unhealthy shame to rule your life, you kick God out of your heart, and then you wonder why he deserted you. Think about that for a moment. Unhealthy shame keeps us from seeing God's heart. It keeps us from his love. We don't grow closer to God because we either don't feel worthy to or because we don't know how. And so we become spiritually stagnant. And when you use something in a way, and I've said this several times last week, when you use something in a way other than that which it was intended, you will probably find that the ultimate result is the opposite of the desired effect. Shame exists for a reason, but that's not it. I see two extremes in many Christians when it comes to sin. And the first extreme is this. Sin is justified because the person rationalizes that their sin is really no big deal. Now think about that. It's justified because they rationalize that their sin is really no big deal. And this is what you'll hear yourself saying. Well, at least I didn't do that. At least I never did this. And we all know some joker who we think is worse than us that we can point to feel good about ourselves. But God doesn't allow us to point to anybody but Him. And when I'm pointing to Him, I'm always going to fall short, right? That's why it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And I have to really take a hold of that life. And so what happens is people think, well, it's not a big deal. How many of you ever said this or heard somebody say it? Well, you know, it's just a little white lie. You know, red, yellow, black, and white, a lie is a lie. Amen? So we rationalize things. And by the way, that word, somebody told me this years ago, I never forgot, rationalize. Anytime you begin to rationalize sin, understand rationalize means rational lies. So after all, we think, you know, it's not as bad as that other guy's sin. And so the problem is, again, all sin that is not repented of and put under the blood leads to death. The wages of sin is death. And I've talked about that pretty extensively, you know, over the years. But the second extreme is the one that we're talking about today, and it's allowing shame to keep you from accepting and receiving the grace of God. God is never going to force Himself on you. God is never going to force His grace on you, His love on you, anything on you. It has to be received. And people cannot experience the fullness of His love and mercy because they consider themselves to be unworthy of it. How many of you have ever tried to approach maybe a wounded animal? And that wounded animal, although you're trying to help it, whether it's to give it some food or to give it some kind of aid, medical aid or whatever, but because that thing is wounded and is pretty much convinced that you don't love it, that you intend evil for it, just like whatever happened to it, man, that thing will bite you, right? You get too close, right? So it's the same way. We do the same thing. So again, that's the point of grace. Nobody deserves it. Yet shame hides this reality from us. And it's the opposite extreme of convincing us that our sin is worse than the sins of others. It's the opposite of the one thinking that we don't have, that our sin is not as bad, but this one convinces us our sin is worse, all right? And in so doing, it prevents us from truly experiencing God's love. So unhealthy shame makes us view ourselves as lowly, filthy creatures that are unlovable by God. And sometimes it's because of the things that we have done that make us feel that way. And then sometimes it's because of the things that have been done to us that make us feel that way. Either way, you can't keep that in your life. Either way, you got to get free. Either way, you want God to move in your life in a way where you are freed up to serve Him and for His Spirit to flow in and through you. Accepting that God offers grace to others is one thing, but for us, it's another thing. It's like I tell people, hey, I can lay hands on you and pray for you all day long, and whatever disease or sickness or pain you're dealing with, and just believe that God's about to do something with this. But if I'm feeling that same pain for myself, sometimes I need some backup, right? Because when you're in the midst of the pain, sometimes it's hard for you to believe for yourself. All right. We think, after all, you know, how could God love us after what we've done? And when unrepentant, unhealthy shame takes hold of our hearts, we cannot feel the love and the grace that He offers because we view our own mistakes as being greater than the love and the mercy of God. And so with this, we essentially reject the power of the cross and the significance of the sacrifice of Jesus because we somehow allow ourselves to believe that our sin is greater than His sacrifice. And you know what it really means is somehow we think we know better than God about ourselves. Because truthfully, unrepentant, unhealthy shame is a result of a lack of faith in the grace of God. I know what I'm talking about here. I'm not preaching something to you that I haven't had to live myself. There have been times when the enemy would just eat me alive with shame, and it would paralyze me. So some of you know what I'm talking about in your own life. As long as we hold on to unhealthy shame, we will not break away from that habit of sin. It's going to keep us connected to that sin. Unhealthy shame becomes the instrument that keeps us from escaping the cycle of sin in our lives. And I've met a lot of people. I mean, the freedom is there available for them, but they can't get beyond the shame. I'll say it again. When you use something in a way other than that which it was intended for, you probably will find that the result's going to be the opposite of the desired effect. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 15, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, notice what this says, this is a promise, will never be put to shame if you trust in him. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one that in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, those who trust God will never be put to shame. And as Christians, we should not live in the shadow of the shame of sin. We may sin, but unrepentant, unhealthy shame comes from a lack of faith in Jesus' sacrifice to wash that sin away. Shame comes when we refuse to let go of the guilt of sin in our lives. We feel that guilt. And there's a, you know, hey, man, I felt ashamed of myself for doing that. Good. That should cause you to repent and get free of that shame, right? So you have to be willing to give it to him and lay it at his feet. We must let go of our shame so that we can grow in our relationship with God. But again, shame is not all that bad. Second main point is this, and I'm going to hurry up. What is the intended purpose of shame? Shame is actually a very important consequence of sin. If we're never ashamed of anything, we're just going to keep doing it. Jeremiah 6:15 through 16. Jeremiah the prophet is asking, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Somebody say rest for your souls. What he's saying is that there should be shame, but what you need to do is look at what he called the ancient paths. What does the truth of God's word say? And then begin to apply that to your life and you will find rest for your souls. You cannot have rest for your souls if you're living in shame. You can't. So sin makes a way for shame, which is then supposed to create in us a godly sorrow that leads us to repentance so that we can change our ways and draw nearer to God. That's what it's all about. You know, Romans 5:1-5 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you're carrying shame in your life, unhealthy shame, it is a painful emotion caused by a consciousness of guilt or shortcoming or impropriety, and there is no hope. People who carry shame often feel hopeless. So there is a place for a healthy temporary shame. 1 Corinthians 15:33 through 34 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame. What is the Apostle Paul saying? You ought to be ashamed of yourself that you're not taking the knowledge that God gave you and sharing it with other people and leaving them in the darkness. Amen? Tell your neighbor, sometimes you ought to be ashamed. But then you repent and get out of the shame. That purpose of shame is to bring us to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance and then leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Everybody say no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. So the enemy likes to put a twist on the truth, and rather than shame leading us to repentance, he wants to use shame to keep us connected to our sin, which leads to more shame, which leads to more sin, and his ultimate desire is to keep you out of the presence of God so that you cannot experience his love. When we allow ourselves to hold on to shame longer than is necessary to draw us near to God, then that shame becomes not a tool from God, but a trap from the devil. And just like everything the devil touches, shame has been corrupted by our enemy to lead us away from God. So shame often becomes not the source of our drawing closer to God as it should be, but in fact, the very thing that tears us away from him. We must learn to use shame as it was intended so that it draws us to God instead of forcing us away from him. You know, parents, if you ever tell your child you ought to be ashamed of yourself, don't leave them there. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for doing that, but let's get this right before God so you don't have to live in that shame. Amen? So instead of forcing us away from God, shame actually should draw us to him. It is impossible or that all of you hearing this message today have never dealt with shame, but it is totally possible that some of you are dealing with shame right now and maybe even feel far from God. And maybe you've held on to that shame instead of faith in the blood of the Lamb. And that thing has kept you from stepping out for God because you think everybody else can do it, but not you because you've been too bad or whatever it is. It's time to be freed from that prison of shame. Would you agree? It's time to let go of the burden that you carry. Shame is a tool from God, but it will only be effective when we're willing to let it go. It's the only tool that we have to let go of for it to work. God does not let us experience shame so that we can live feeling worthless. He allows it so that it will draw us to him in repentance, to change our way of thinking from our way to his way. Do not let the enemy use shame as a tool to keep you from God. But instead, use shame the right way. Use it as a tool to connect you to God. Amen? So today, I want to ask anyone who's been holding on to shame in their lives, I'm going to ask you to get honest with God. And you don't have to tell anybody what you're ashamed of except him. But anybody that's been refusing to let go of something in your life that's bringing shame, I'm going to invite you, all of us actually, to stand to our feet. But I'm going to invite you today to willingly let that go. I'm going to invite you today to say no longer. Lord, thank you for the shame, but I held on to it too long. He wants you to overcome unhealthy shame. He wants you to experience his love. So if you're dealing with shame, look, I'm telling you, I know what it's like. If you're dealing with that, why don't you just slip your hands up to God right now and get your freedom right now. Now Father, you see every person here. Lord, we've all done things that we know are wrong. We've all done things that we've regretted in life. But Father, your intention was never to beat us down with shame. Your intention was to lift us up, Lord, to cause us to run to you. And I pray for every person here today that's dealing with this. Lord, I pray, Father, that a freedom would just completely overtake them. Lord, if there's things that they need to do to make things right, if there's restitution that they need to do to make things right with people, then give them the grace to be able to do that. But Father, I thank you that once repentance is there, there is no need for unhealthy, ungodly shame to be in our lives anymore. And I thank you for freeing people up today to be used by you, to be vessels of your glory, Father. I thank you, Lord, that today there is a grace to wash it away and to strengthen and to turn things around. I thank you that today, shame, unhealthy shame, no longer has a place in these people. We use the blood of Jesus against it to wash it away. We use the name of Jesus against the liar and the enemy of their soul. And we cancel those words that the enemy has spoken that brought shame, unhealthy shame. And I thank you for a new life today. I thank you for a new start today. I thank you for a new beginning today. I thank you that the weight of shame is being removed. And we do invite you, Father, to use shame the way you want to use it, Father, to keep our consciences clean, to help us to know when we've done wrong. But Father, we know that you don't intend for us to stay there. May we repent quickly and walk in freedom. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And if you're in agreement, won't you shout a big amen? Amen. Amen.